Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.
Okay, so let us learn. Let us learn. Parshas Vayishlach. Okay, let's begin with a couple of psukim. The Medrash I want to discuss is actually the third source on our sheet. So we have a couple of psukim to do just background to get to our Medrash. The story that in the Parsha that we'll be discussing is the famous battle with the angel that Yaakov has, Saro Shel Esav, and the lead up to that. Vayakom Balailo Hahu, the Torah describes Yaakov is with his family. They're on their way back to Eretz Yisrael, his four wives, his 11 children. And Yaakov gets up in the middle of the night, Vayikachas Shtei Noshav, Vashtei Shifchosav, he takes his two wives, his two Shifchos, Vesachadas Yoladov, his 11 children, Vayavoris Ma'avar Yabok, and they cross over this, I don't want to say it's a river, this some body of water, it's Nachal, Vayikachem, Vayavireim, Es HaNachal, and he takes his family, takes everything that they have, they cross over this Nachal, Vayaveres Asherlo, and he took everything that he had with him. So the Torah goes to great lengths to describe this process on his way home, which on itself is worthy of noting, like, I don't know, they just say they were traveling back to Eretz Yisrael. Yeah, they got to a river, they crossed over, and he went back, and he took everything with him. And then the Torah says, Vayuvaser Yaakov Levado, and in the midst of this description of him passing over and then taking all the things with him over the river, Yaakov is left by himself. Vayuvaser Yaakov Levado, he is left alone. Vayeovek Ish Imo, and a man came and wrestled with him ad alos hashachar, until daybreak. And then the Torah goes on to describe their conversation that they had, which is also worthy of much discussion, but not for tonight's discussion. So we have this episode where Yaakov is left alone and this man comes, which Chazal say, if you just read the psukim, it would be a person. A person came and they wrestled. Chazal, of course, understand it to be Saro Shel Esav, the angel representing Esav. What's Yaakov doing by himself? So she skipped out. I'm a little bit rushed on the sheets. I apologize. They're not as put together as I would have liked, but the fourth sheet, the fourth source, the Gemara in Chulin, Rashi quotes it, I'm sure you're all familiar with it, Vayivoser Yaakov Levado, Amar Belazar, Shenishtayer al Pachin Ketanim. What was he doing by himself? He was left there, or he had gone back for some small vessels that had been left. The Torah had gone to great lengths to say how he had taken everything from one side over to the other side. And then the next phrase is, and he was left by himself. So Chazal say, they make the connection, while in the process of moving all of his things from one side of the river to the other side of the river, which the Torah takes the time to tell us that he was doing, that's how he was left by himself. He had gone back by himself to gather these remaining Pachin Ketanim. We would look at this as strange. This would almost be on your most recent road trip where you load up all of the kids after spending a night in a hotel or in a motel on the travel, and like after like 30 minutes, finally, like you got everything in the car and you begin to pull out, you're like, wait, I forgot the toothbrushes. So generally, everybody would say, like, just no, don't turn around. Like, we're all in the car. Get out of here. And Yaakov says, no, there are these little things, these jugs. We forgot somebody's sippy cup in the room. We have three others. No, but we left two. And Yaakov turns around and he goes back. And instead of chiding Yaakov for this, Chazal actually see that this is a tremendous lesson for Klal Yisrael. Mikan, says the Gemara, Litzadikim shechaviv aleihem mamonam yoser migufam. You see from here that tzadikim, their money is more dear to them even than their guf, than their physical safety, that Yaakov puts himself in this dangerous position of going back by himself in the middle of the night for these small pachim kitanim. Kol kachlama, why? What tzadikim? Why is their money so special to them? Shein poshtin yadehen begezel, because they never involve with thievery or stealing. Whatever they have is theirs. They earned it honestly. They worked for it. And it's very special to them. And so you see Yaakov goes back. So not only is it not a derogatory thing, but it actually teaches us this lesson that Yaakov went back for these Pachin Ketanim. Fine. That's source number one. I'm sure most of you are familiar with that story. The Medrash darshins a pasuk. The pasuk that the Medrash is going to darshin is a second on your sheet. Ein ka'el yishur. This is a pasuk from the Zos HaBracha, the very end of Sefer Devarim, the end of the Chumash. Ein ka'el yishurun. Who? There is no one like God, O Yishurun. Yishurun referring to the Jewish people. Is Moshe speaking to us, referring to us as Yishurun? and saying to us, there is no one like God, O Jewish people called the Yeshurunim. What is so special about the Ribbono Shel Olam? Rochev Shamayim Bo Ezrecho Vega'av Vaso Shechakim. He rides the heavens. He's at your assistance. He'll help you. And with his majesty, Vega'av Vaso, he rides the skies. Very poetic language, which we're not going to get into. That language of Ein Kekel Yeshurun, there's no God like God, O Jewish people. The Medrash says as follows. This is in your box. There is no one like God. And then the Medrash picks up on the strange way that Moshe speaks. But who is the most similar to him? There's no one exactly like him. But the way that Ein Ka'el Yeshurun, it's as if you can read it. Who is the most similar to God? Yeshurun, the Jewish people. Who's Yeshurun a reference to? Yisrael Saba, our grandfather Yisrael, who is? Yaakov. Where does the Medrash see that Moshe's referring to that even though nobody's like God, but there's one person who was similar, close, who's just like him? That's Yaakov Avinu, Yisrael Saba, our grandfather Yisrael. Where do we see this connection? Ma Kodesh Baruch Hu Kosovo. What does it say by Hashem? The Niskov Hashem Levado. This is a pasuk in the beginning of Sefer Yishayahu. The Navi Yishayah says, in the end of days, he describes Eine. This is the full pasuk which I don't have in front of you. Eine Gavhus Adam Shafel, that the humankind's haughty eyes will be brought low, will be made humble. The Shachrum Anashim, and the man's arrogance will be humbled. The Niskav Hashem Levado Bayomahu. On that day, when man will be humbled and will be brought low, what will be left? The Niskav Hashem Levado Bayomahu. On that day, Bayomahu, it'll just be the Niskav Hashem Levado. Hashem alone will be exalted. So the Medrash says, so you see, what mida does Hashem have? The Niskav Hashem Levado. He's by himself. He's alone. Af Yaakov, says the Medrash, Vayivoser Yaakov. Levado. Yaakov was left alone. So the Medrash says, Yaakov is just like God. Because the Pasuk describes that in the end of days, when all of mankind will fall by the wayside, and the haughtiness of man will be put to rest, and his haughty thoughts will be no longer, and all that will be left will be Hashem Levado. So look, the same thing happened to Yaakov. Vayivaser Yaakov levado. Yaakov was left alone. And alone, God and Yaakov, interchangeable. They're just the same. So says the Medrash. The obvious question being, okay, so we see the levado, levado. Hashem is levado, Yaakov is levado. Hashem levado is in the end of days when everything will fall by the wayside and he's the only one left. We'll see the truth. Yaakov's levado is he went back for a couple of jugs and was left alone, and he's levado. And the Medrash says, you see really here the same midah, even though there's no one quite like Kel, there's no one exactly like Hashem, but the closest is Yeshurun. What is the meaning of all of this? So I'd like to share with you, as best I can, the Rosh Hashiva's understanding of such a Medrash. Let's start moving a little bit further down the source Devarim. I guess that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Torah says this is again one of Moshe's earlier speeches in Sefer Devarim. Atah HaReisa. Oh, by the way, I just have to point out, this Medrash is the answer to a very obscure... is the very obscure answer to the famous question. Any Shlomo Carlebach fans here? So Shlomo Carlebach has a well-known song that's played at all the weddings you've been at. And the song goes as follows. V'niskav Hashem levado, Hashem levado b'ayomo. And then the hyper goes, V'yivaser Yaakov levado, V'yivaser Yishimo. So the first part of the pasuk is Hashem will be standing alone at the end of days. And then it says, and Yaakov fought with an angel when he was left alone. And thinking people, when they hear that song, say, one pasuk is in Yeshaya, the other pasuk is in Parshas Vayishlach. What in the world are these two psukim doing together? Like, what connection does... Where did Shlomo Carlebach... What's he talking about that he put these two psukim together in a song? And the answer to that is, and you can now give an answer the next time you're at a wedding and you say to somebody at the table, say, like, you ever wonder about this pasuk? You can say, there's a medrash in Parshas Vayishlach that says V'niska v'ashem levado, v'ayivoser Yaakov levado, they are the closest similarity, the two closest things you can get, Mikael Yeshurun. Who is like God? Yaakov, because of this pasuk, and Shlomo Karbach put it together in a song, so that it will be darshaned and explained, like what was he thinking based on, but it's based on this medrash. So now you'll have the answer to that question next time you're at a wedding and you hear that song. You will be in the know. So Moshe says, you were shown today to know. Toharesa, it was shown to you, Ladas, that you should know, Ki Hashem, Hu Ha Elokim, Ein Od Milvado. Hashem, He is God. Elokim here, the source of all strength. Ein Od Milvado. So that phrase, of course, Hashem, Hu Ha Elokim, is meaningful to all of us from the Ela, where we scream at the end of a long Yom Kippur seven times, Hashem, Hu Ha Elokim. So Moshe says this phrase, today you were known, it was made known to you, Ki Hashem, Hu Ha Elokim, Ein Od Milvado. There is nothing other than the Ribono Shel Olam. Now, one would live their life and say, well, there are a lot of things other than the Ribono Shel Olam. I mean, there's good, there's bad in the world, there are good people, there are bad people, there's houses, there's cars, there's tables, there's like lots of things. And Moshe says, Ein Od, no, there is nothing. Ein Od Milvado. And Rashi explains, Kishenasan HaKadosh Baruch Hu Asa Torah, when Hashem gave us the Torah, Pasach Lehem Shiva Rekiyim, Hashem opened up the seven heavens. In the Sifrei Kabbalah, they talk about all the various realms of spheros and all various things which are way beyond my head. But Rashi says, it's as if all the heavens opened up and there was a direct line in which Klal Yisrael could perceive or understand directly to the Kisei HaKavod, to Hashem Himself. U'kishem shekoras ha'elyonim, and in the same way as the upper worlds were, so to speak, opened up with clarity to Klal Yisrael, Kach Kores HaTachtonim, he also ripped open the lower worlds, and it's as if, whatever this means, where we in this world that we occupy are in the midst of these lower worlds and the upper worlds, and on the day that the Torah was given, everything was opened up clear. Vira'u, and what did Moshe mean when he said, Ato HaReso L'das Ki Ein Od Milvado, there is nothing else. Vira'u Shehu Yechidi. So it's just the Ribono Shel Olam. It's He alone in a world that's filled with discord, filled with opposites, filled with things that we don't understand. But when everything is opened up, Klal Yisrael saw Ein Od Milvado. It's really all a manifestation of the Ribono Shel Olam. V'kach nemar ato hareso l'das. If you take a prism, and you shoot a beam of light through it, so the beam of light starts as white light, and as it exits the prism on the other side, it refracts into many different colors. So if you're living or looking on the other side of the prism, if I'd shoot the beam of light here, and there'd be a prism in the middle of the table, and then we're all standing on that side where you are, and we would say, well, what do you see? So we would say, well, we see seven colors of light. And we'd be correct. And I would say, how many beams of light are here? You would say, seven, because look. And you would say, here's red and yellow and green and blue and purple. And you go through the whole thing, and you'd be able to prove scientifically, indeed, how each color has a different wavelength, and it's clearly distinct, and that's why it looks different, and it has different properties. And that's the way that it would appear from the other side of the prism. I mean, in reality, if you would be able to stand on the other side, you would see that it really was a single beam of white light that was just refracted by that prism. So we live in a world that's been created, that's finite, and that the manifestation of the Ribono Shel Olam in the world is such in which it appears as if there are many colors. We actually refer to it. There are many midos that Hashem relates to the world, the Yud Gimel's midos or Rachamim. Sometimes it's with chesed, sometimes it's with emes, sometimes it's with fear, it's with anger. There are many different midos in the way that Hashem relates to the world, and we perceive all of them. It's so confusing, in fact, that the early pagans had various different gods for the various different things that they experienced, and that made sense to them. That, look, there's sadness, and there's happiness, and there's pain, and there's suffering, and there's all of these things, and there must be different powers that are creating all of these things. That was the early Avodah Zarah, which still exists in its different forms. And really, it's Yechidi. It's all one. There's no difference, even though we don't perceive it. We perceive happiness and sadness and good things and bad things and all things in between, but it's Yechidi. And Klal Yisrael, on the day of Kabbalah Satorah, Tahare Soladas, you were shown this. You saw when you split the heavens, you split the Elyonim, the Tachtonim, and it's just clear, Ein Od Milvado. There's really nothing other than the Ribono Shel Olam, which is summarized in the pasuk that we say all the time, Bayom Hahu Yi Hashem Echad Ushmo Echad. There'll be that day when Hashem will be one and His name will be one. Rashi explains, what does it mean that there'll be His name will be one? Today, the Gemara really explains this, today we perceive good things and bad things. And we recognize that. When a person experiences a blessing, they say, Ashachianu or Tova HaMetiv. And when we experience a loss, there's a different bracha we make. We make a bracha of Dayan HaEmes. We recognize that this was a painful experience and there's a true judge. We don't say a Tova HaMetiv when somebody passes away, because there's sadness, there's a void, there's pain and there's suffering, and there's plenty of pain and suffering in the world. We can believe that kol man David Rachman Latava of it, everything that Hashem does is for the good. But we don't experience that. We don't experience this event as good. We experience this event as a tragedy, as painful. And Chazal recognized that and gave us a different bracha for the pain than they gave us for the good things, because that's how we experience it. Because we're living on the other side of the prism. And this color is painful, and this color is happiness, and we recognize that. We recognize, in theory, it all came from the same source, and kol man da'avid rachmano l'tava avid, everything he does is for the good, but I don't see that. I don't experience that. I just know that. And because I'm not experiencing it, Chazal gave me different ways of expressing that. There's such a thing called shiva, and mourning, when we suffer loss. We don't celebrate chas v'shal, it's painful. It's for the good. Bayom Hahu, Yashem Echad Ushmacha. There'll be a day where we can actually pronounce His name, because His name will be one, and our experience of Him will be one, and it will all be clear. But we're not, that's Bayom Hahu. Bayom Hahu, it'll be that way. And now, we're not. So there's an element of Yichidi, of it all being one, coming from the same source, even though we know and believe that, but we don't always experiencing that. And that concept, said the Rosh Hashiva, extends not just into our belief system, but everything that exists in the world. The concept of Yechidi, the concept of Hashem being one, and Bayomahu Yashem Echad Ushmo Echad, is that everything in the world is created for the purpose of bringing that to fruition. Getting the world to where we are, to where it needs to be. Everything in the world is that way. Even though, again, we see different colors, and this doesn't have any meaning, and what's the purpose of that? It's all part of a plan of Bayom Hahu Yashem Echad Ushmo Echad. As an example, the Rambam describes in his Hakdama to the Perush HaMishnah, he writes, that he says this exact idea, that everything that was created was for the purpose of humankind to achieve Hasagas Hamuskelas, to understand they're coming close to the Ribono Shel Olam, loosely translated. And he says, you'll say, yeah, but this guy, he has got no clue, he has no connection to anything of value. Well, what's he doing in the world if you say that everything Hashem created is for the purpose of bringing us that? And the Rambam goes through a lengthy discussion saying, you really never know what's taking place. And he describes, there's going to be a tzaddik one day who's going to live, and he's going to be hot and tired, traveling down a road. And because of that, two generations prior, says the Rambam, will be a rich fellow who will be inspired to build a huge palace and to plant a vineyard and do all the things involved in that, so that 30 years after this rich fellow dies, the Jew who's walking past will have the shade of the palace and the vineyard that he planted to give him some respite. You would never see that connection. You have to have like a long view of history to see how all the things go into place. But says the Rambam, don't be fooled, because you only see a sliver. You're only alive for such a short time, so things don't make sense. We don't really see how everything fits into a pattern, into a goal. But you need to know that if you see it long enough, then it would make sense why this happened and that happened and this person. We don't know who's got money, who doesn't have money, and this one yarshins to this one, and then two generations later, it ends up over there, and then this one. We don't see that. But by Yom HaYashem, there'll be a time And that's really the goal of where everything is going. Well, that's Gemara, then we'll tie it. Well, I shouldn't say that. Two more Gemaras. But one more on this part of the discussion. The Gemara says, the last source on your sheet. Gemara in Avodah Zara. Darash Reb Chani. The Gemara says that in the end of the day, lost in love, maybe a Kodesh Baruch Hu Sefer Torah. Hashem is going to bring a Sefer Torah. Manucha Becheko, put it in his lap and say, anyone, Lamisha Osak Bayavo V'yitol Scharo. Anyone who's come and learned my Torah, come, you can take your reward. The Gemara says, so the Jews are all excited. Umiyan miskabsin ubonov de kechavim barvovi. All the non-Jews come storming in, saying, yeah, great, we get our share. We're looking forward to our reward. So Hanum Kadosh Baruch Hu b'maya sakta. The Rebbe Shem says to them, so fellas, why are you guys here? Gemara says, Omer lefanav, Rebbe Shem Olam, what do you mean? Harbe shvakim takninu. We built many bathhouses and harbe marchsos and marketplaces and many bathhouses. Harbe kesef izov hirbinu. We increased the money in the world. V'kulam lo asinu el bishvil Yisrael kideshi yisasku batorah. Say the nations of the world. We did all of that so that the Jews should be able to learn Torah. We paved the roads, we built houses, we made streetlights so that they can get to shul better. We did all of that just for your children to be able to come and learn Torah. And the Gemara says, Rebbe Hashem says to them, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shoytim Sheba Olam. Fools! Kol ma she'asisim letzorech atzmachem asisim. You did it for yourselves. That's the Gemara. Rashiva asked, wait a second. This is not like in front of some judge in a court of law of human beings. They're making a claim to the Ribono Shalom. And they're saying, we did it for the Jews. Who are they fooling? This is the Olam Hamas. They're speaking to the Ribono Shalom. And they're going to make a claim that they paved all the roads and built all the bathhouses and created all the marketplaces and developed cars and the internet, all so that we can download Shiurim to the Ribono Shalom. They're making that claim. So Shimi said, yeah, they're actually making a correct claim. That is exactly right. Because in the scheme of things, they did. Everything that they developed, everything that they created, is so that it fits into the scheme that we, the carriers of the Ribono Shel'olam's torch, can do our jobs better. And every bit of intelligence, every bit of technology, every advancement of society, they're right. Except the Ribono Shel'olam says to them, your intentions count. If you're involved in doing a mitzvah, we could say whether you had intention, you didn't have contention, you did the mitzvah. You're just building a road. And then, it depends. Were you doing it for the Jews or you're doing it for yourself? You're not going to get credit. But in reality, it's actually true. It is exactly true. When Al Gore says he created the internet, he's going to get credit for doing it for the sake of all the Torah that was learned on the internet. He created it, and he's going to say, yeah, it's for us. That's true. All the technology, all the advancements, everything that helps a Jew in his avoda, that's why it was created. Because that's the purpose of the world, is to get us to the point of the niskov Hashem levado. When at the end of the day, that's all we see. It's the Ribono Shel Olam, ein od milvado, there is nothing else. And everything in the world is aimed towards bringing us to the point of seeing the niskov Hashem levado. Even though it doesn't look that way. It doesn't look like the technology that's being developed is for that purpose. It doesn't look like the printing press was invented for that purpose. But it was. We see different colors, but you have to see that. Says the Rosh Hashiva. Yaakov goes back for Pachin Ketanim. Pachin Ketanim. There's a Gemara that I'm sure I've said here, because this is my all-time favorite Gemara. Gemara says that when a child, I'm sure you'll tell me, because I'll see how quickly you get the answer to this question, how many times I've done this here. The Gemara says before a child is born, after a child is conceived, the Gemara says there's a malach that takes this developing embryo and places it before the heavenly throne. Obviously, the Gemara is talking figuratively. And the malach asks the Ribono Shel Olam and his court three questions about what's going to be with this developing child. Three things that are determined before the child is even born. I know I've said this before, so any guess? What are the three things?
Spouse.
Nope, not spouse.
His health.
His wealth.
Wealth.
Gemara says, how wealthy will he be? How smart will he be? It's one more. Yeah, how strong will he be? Now we'll read the Gemara inside. The Gemara, this is the fifth one, the Gemara Nida. The Gemara says, Dar Reb Chanina bar Papa, also Malach HaMamun al HaHirayon, the Malach that's in charge of pregnancy. Laila Shemo is, the Gemara gives it a name. The Notel Tipa takes this developing embryo, Uma'amin v'lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, v'omer lefanav, he places it before the Ribbono Shel Olam and says, Ribbono Shel Olam, Tipa zu matahei olav, Gibor o Cholash, will he be strong, will he be weak? Chacham o Tipesh, will he be strong, will he be not smart or not so smart? Asher o Ani, will he be rich, will he be poor? Predetermined. These are decided before a child is born. His intelligence, his wealth, and his strength. The ilu rosho utzadik lo kamer. The Gemara doesn't. Whether he's going to be righteous or wicked is not discussed because that's up to us. That's our task. This, the Rosh Yeshiva learned from this Gemara that this is our task in life. We have a goal. We have a mission, and we have tools that we all are given in order to fulfill that mission. And those tools are these big three things. What's your intelligence level? Every child is born with a different intelligence. Now, we have the ability to fulfill that or not to fulfill that. A person who's given great intelligence and doesn't read, doesn't study, doesn't learn, doesn't review, won't become much, even though they had much greater intelligence than the child sitting next to them in school. They just have the potential for more, and that's just the way that it is. There's nothing you can do about it. This child is born with a greater mental capacity than this child. Kachahi. You can squander it, you can maximize it, but they're just born with different potentials. The way that it is. Wealth, same thing. Like you can't explain certain things. Certain people are just, everything they do turns to gold. They're born with a silver spoon in their mouth, or everything they do earns them a lot of money, and their buddy next door works twice as hard, does everything right. It doesn't go. They're not blessed with wealth. They just, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what they do. They don't have. And it's the same thing. You can maximize or you can squander, but there's a certain potential, the Gemara says, what your socioeconomic status is going to be. It's just the way that it is. You might not get it if you don't work hard, but two people can work equally hard and end up in different places. And same thing with strength, which seems to me physical strength. People just have different qualities in terms of the strength of their physical strength to do things. Some people are very meek and quiet, and other people are just presence. They just have physical ability to get things done in a different way. Says the Gemara, those are your tools. Everybody's got a different gradation in all three of those spectrums. How much physical strength and presence do you have? How much intelligence? How much wealth? It's what's given to you. What you do with it is then your avoda. Everybody's got their tool. Interestingly, whenever I quote this Gemara, I like to quote the Mishnah Perkei Avos, which you're also all familiar with. You'll find the same three things are asked. The Gemara asks, Ezehu Chacham, who is considered wise? And what does the Gemara not answer? Your IQ. Right, why not? Because that doesn't define you. That's given to you. Don't think you're so great because you have wisdom. That's a gift. Well, you know what's considered wise? What you do with that. Do you want to learn from everybody? Ezehu Ashir, who's considered wealthy. The Gemara does not answer your bank account statement because that's a gift to you. That's your tool. That doesn't make you wealthy. What's wealthy is, are you happy with what you have? The Gemara asks, Ezehu Gibor, who's considered strong? And the Gemara does not answer, how much can you bench press? How many people can you move from one room to another room in what short amount of time? Like, how fast can you get people from the main showroom to the kiddush room for a wedding? That's not strength. People are blessed with that. Some people are, some people aren't. Strength is, how much control over yourself do you have? The Gemara takes the same three things that the Gemara, the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, takes the same three things that are determined, that are given to you, or tools, and says, yeah, but you really want to know how Jews measure these three qualities? We measure them based on what you do with them. Do you want to learn? Are you happy with what you have? And how much can you control yourself? Which are the same three things that the Pasuk in the end of Navi says, V'al yishalel ha-chacham b'chachmaso, don't allow the wise person to praise himself with his wisdom, V'al yishalel ha-gibor b'gvuraso, not the strong person with his strength, V'ashir v'ashro, nor the wealthy, Ela kiyim bezos, do you fear me? Because those other things, don't praise yourself with that. It's like a person praising himself because they're beautiful. What did you do to make yourself beautiful? You were born beautiful. Greg Shkach. What does that do with you? The you is what we care about. Self-control. Are you happy? But these things are tools. Yaakov understood, if my wealth is my tool, so imagine intelligence. Imagine a person is given, let's use IQ of whatever, 125. But in order to maximize that, you have to learn, you have to study, you have to do something. And you goofed off in school so that you only maximized a 120 out of the 125. So what are you going to be lacking in life? The part of your avodah will never be done because you could have accomplished this. This is the potential that you had, and you squandered it. You didn't use it. So if you don't use it, so you're short. You're missing something along the way. So Yaakov understood, my money is part of that. Those sippy cups that I left, I spent money on that. And now I'm going to have to spend money on new ones. I need whatever I have, I've been given to accomplish something. And therefore, Tzaddik takes his money very seriously. He doesn't steal. Whatever he has, he earned. If he earned it, he's supposed to have it. For what? I don't know. I only see the sliver of every day that I live my life. But if I have it, it's a tool. If it's a tool, it's precious. Because everything that I have is going to bring me to where I am going. Vayomahu v'niska v'ashem levado. There'll be a day where Hashem will be left alone. Left alone meaning not like, leave me alone. He'll be, after everything else falls by the wayside, the only thing left is the Ribbono Hashem. Ki ein od milvado. There's nothing else. And we will see how every single thing along the way was used to get there. The different colors of the spectrum, the technology, and the bathhouses, and the marketplaces. Like, what did that have to do with the Ribbono Hashem? No, they all fit in. They were all part of a plan to get us to a goal, even though at the time that you were dealing with it, you might not have seen that or known that. So much so that the nations of the world will be correct when they say, we did it all for the Jews. Yeah, you did it for yourself. It's true it was done for the Jews, but you did it for yourself. But it was all part of that program. Every single thing that happened. And on an individual level, Vayivoser Yaakov Levado. Yaakov was by... Why was he by himself? Because he saw... Those sippy cups, I need them. I'm going to be lacking if I don't have that taking me to where it is that I need to go. And Chazal seeing the two levados, what does it mean to be alone? It means to be the only thing, is to see every single thing as towards a single purpose and mission, and not disparate, they have nothing to do with anything. And in the one at the end of days, when everything will fall by the wayside, and all we'll see is the Ribbono Shel Olam, what will get us there are individuals living like Yaakov, Vayivoser Yaakov Levado, seeing everything is a tool towards getting me there. The things that I think are holy, the things that I don't think are holy. The Pachim Kitanim are just as holy as running back for a Sefer Torah, because if I don't have them, my avoda is lacking. I must have everything that I need to get me there. They're all part of it. Whether I see it or I don't see it, I know that it has to be. And that's the midah of levado. That's the midah of a yochid, of being alone, that Yaakov expresses in his going back for the Pachim Ketanim, the same midah that we yearn to see in the Ribbono Shel Olam of everything was along that same mission, going to get to that goal of Bayomahu, seeing Viniska Vashem Levado, and that's the Af Yaakov Ayvasher Yaakov Levado. So it's not just a play on words of Levado, but the Mida that's described in this particular instance is the same Mida of what we're yearning for, of Bayomahu, seeing Hashem as everything leading us to that goal of Gilui Kvod Shemayim, of Hashem's presence in the world, and using everything in the world towards getting us there. So darshaned the Rosh Hashiva as best as I understood it.
For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.